Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Why don't we have a word of prayer first? Let us have a prayer. Our heavenly God, thank you for this morning that we have a good time to worship. Lord, we trust our foreign times to you. May you come to us. Open our heart so that they will be touched by your word. Open our eyes so that we can see your path. Lord, come to us. Talk to us. Speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard a saying years ago. It says something like that. Human desire is like a deep, dark, bottomless pit. No matter what you put into it, you can never fill the gap. I agree. Because this is exactly what I experienced in all these years as a father. When both of my daughters were still little, they used to come to their mother and ask for ice cream after meal. Mommy, can I have some ice cream? And her mothers would say, of course, my dear, it is in the fridge. But I can only give you one scoop because it is almost bedtime. I don't want you to eat too much ice cream before bed. So is that okay, one scoop?
Yeah.
Promise?
Okay, I promise.
But the truth is, one scoop was always not enough. Because almost every time after they finished their ice cream, they would come to their mommy and beg for more. Mommy, can I have some more? And their mom's answers were always the same. No, you can't. I have already told you. You only have one scoop. And you made a promise. Mommy wants to send them away. But the problem was, they never gave up. They begged, they cried, and sometimes they even yelled, Mommy, give me more. Just one more. Please. I can't do that. By telling you, it's not good enough. Are you familiar with this kind of scenario? I bet you have seen something similar before. Not necessarily that someone came to you and begged for ice cream, but someone you know that they want something so badly, and you can feel it by just observe their behavior. Seems like they are not satisfied with what they have already. They just want more, and even more. Truly, desire like a deep, dark, bottomless pit. And no matter what you put into it, you can never fill the gap. I remember that I have a discussion with my daughters a couple of weeks ago. I forgot the occasion, but I remember that I have a chance to share with her my view on the same topic. I said, girls, you know what? What you are desiring today, electronics, computers, fashion, materials, earthly possession, cannot really give you a long-lived satisfaction. That's why even though you got what you want, you will not just stop there. You felt happy for a few days, but after this happy feeling fade away, you start to look for something else again. It's like an unending circle. And I want you to remember, only God can truly satisfy our hearts and give us long-lived fulfillment. You know, as their father, this is the message I think this is very important to convey. But their answers surprised me. You know, one of the things I really appreciate them the most is their honesty. Every time when I said something like that, or I ask questions related to this kind of life topic, they would never lie to me. They would pull out their hearts and told me their thoughts. So one of my girls said to me, Daddy, I know that only God can satisfy our soul. I know that only He can give me a true and long-lived satisfaction. But I think I also enjoy to have some short-term happiness too. But like I said, I really appreciate their honesty, because I know it is true to them, and it is also true to many Christians, even though they claim themselves they love God. Everybody has his own wants and desires. And even though we told ourselves that we love God, it doesn't mean that we aren't willing to let go of what we desire and what we love in this world easily. We love God, but at the same time, we love our houses. We love God, but we also love our cars, our wardrobe, our possession, our property. And you know what? Usually, we make our decision and our daily choices on the basis of what we love, what we want and desire in this world. Perhaps this is why we are so difficult to practice generosity on our daily basis. Not because we are greedy or self-centered, but because we are rarely willing to let go of what we want in this world. Do you still remember the story of Jesus and the rich young man in the book of Matthew? Do you recall their conversations? The rich young man came to Jesus and asked him about how he can enter into the eternal life. So Jesus said to him, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and love your mother, love your neighbor, etc., etc., etc." Well, if you know Bible, perhaps you might recognize that what Jesus said here was coming from the Ten Commandments, which were strictly observed by the Jewish at Jesus' time. The young man replied, "All this I have kept, what do I still lack?" You know what? The Bible told us that Jesus loved this man after hearing his answer almost immediately, because what that man said was believed to be true. He kept all these commandments. In other words, by Jewish standard, he was a righteous man. But Jesus continued to say, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." Jesus invited this man to surrender his possession and followed him. Do you remember what this young man's reaction? This rich young man went away, the Bible told us, with sorrow. Why? Why sorrow? Well, because he is so rich, too rich to let go of what he had. That's why Jesus turned to his disciples afterward and used this man as a living example and said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." What did this man tell us? Why can't this man let go of his possession? Well, it is easy, simple. Because if you let go of your possession, you will feel insecure. We men, we need security. And we always have a tendency to build up our security on what we possess. The more we own, the more we earn, the more we possess, the more we'll feel secure. When I bought my first townhouse 20 years ago, my parents was one of the most happiest persons in my family. There was an occasion, I remember, that they sat in the middle of my living room and shared with me how happy they are when they knew that I finally can afford my place. I still remember their facial expression, their smiling face. They were so happy. But unfortunately, I did not feel the same way. The truth is, when you have your own place, It means you have to pay mortgage every month. And for me, this is a burden. But by looking at their face, I suddenly aware where the security was coming from. You know, we always put the quality of our lives in equivalence to the amount of possessions we have. We believe that if we possess more, we own more, we will have a better life. At least, we no longer need to worry about how much income we will bring home every month, or where to find the money to pay the tax, or how to restrain our spending in our next shopping trip. If we can have more, then we will have more freedom. And you know what? I believe this thought, this idea, is exactly the cause keep our desire firing inside us, because we believe that having more, earning more, possessing more is the only way that we can get our freedom and our security. You know the term financial freedom, don't you? I heard this term from my financial advisor all the time. I know what this term means, and I know why he put this as an ultimate goal in my financial plan. He taught me ways to do investment, how to maximize my return. His opinions was useful, and he did a good job. But I wonder, how can I really have freedom? To be honest, not until I can be freed from my desire to possess more and more, not until I can be freed from the idea of I need more in order to get my security, there is indeed no such thing, genuine freedom in my heart. I will never be freed if I keep desiring, if I keep building my security on my possession, if the idea of I need more and more continuously stuck in my head, how can I be free? I will never be free. On the contrary, I will be enslaved by my desire and wants. Because the more I desire, the more I worry myself not getting what I want. Because no one can guarantee whether I will get what I want at the end. The more I desire, the less I feel satisfied with my life. My attention will all be drawn to worry about what I do not have or yet to have, instead of looking around at myself and try to appreciate of what I already have in the present. I will feel upset, disappointed, discontent, insecure all the time. How can I be free? How can we solve this problem, the problem of desire? How can we deal with this feeling? How can we obtain a true security as well as a genuine freedom? Jesus has talked about this in the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, a man came to ask Jesus for help. He wanted to use Jesus' authority to make his brother to divide the inheritance with him. Well, the Bible did not mention anything about this brother's or exactly what happens between this man and his brother. But obviously, he was not in good intention. Otherwise, Jesus would not answer him this way. He said, "Man, who were me, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Jesus knew this man was greedy. But what Jesus is trying to do here is, he wants to take this opportunity to teach his disciples a lesson about abundance life. So he switched his focus from this man and turned to his disciple and said, "Be on guard of all your covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession." Jesus was trying to deliver a very important message here. Your life is not defined by your fortune and wealth. Because you do not even have the power to control yourself. You do not have the power to determine how long you will live in this world. So Jesus continued to share a parable. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 19. And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you will have ample goods laid up for many years. So relax, eat, drink, be merry.'" In this parable, what did this man really want? More crops? More grains? No, I don't think so. Think about it. He talked to his soul. He talked to his soul like that. "Soul, you have many already, and now you can relax, eat, drink, be merry." Interesting, isn't it? What kind of man would talk to his soul like that? Well, it is pretty symbolic here. Indeed, what this man said to his soul was actually reflecting what he desired in his heart. Not more crops, not even a bigger storage, not more grain. What he wanted was a life that he could relax, eat, drink, and be merry. He needs security. He needs security in his life, and he chose to obtain this security through owning more possession. But the problem is, God said to this man right after. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." God describes this man as a fool. Why? Because this man was trying to build his security on something which is not reliable, something unstable, temporary, short-lived, and probably would be taken away anytime. Like God said, if your life ends tonight, what good will this thing to your soul? My friend, this morning, I want you to remember one thing. Do not be a fool. Do not be a fool. Do not build your security on earthly possession, but on God, who promised to provide what you need. You know, after Jesus finished his parable, he continued to elaborate this point. So he said, it's a comparatively a long passage, Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 28. He said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, or you of little faith. I believe we are all familiar with this passage, aren't we? But do you know exactly what it means to our lives today? 2 points I would like to make this morning. First of all, Jesus wants you to remember that you are precious in God's eyes. How precious we are. Jesus reminds us with the birds in the sky. He said, consider the ravens. Neither sow nor reap, have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Do you think you are less valued than a bird? No, it couldn't be. Do you still remember last week's message? Last week, we have Jeremy Fisk in the Chinese congregation. You have to hear it back from the internet. Jeremy Fisk came to share with us his ministry in Compassion Canada. And he reminded us many times that we are made in the image of God. Everybody is made in the image of God, no matter where we are from, what kind of skin color you have, what do you do for a living, or what kind of educational background you possess, adults, seniors, children. We are all created in the image of God. We are all God's children, and God is our Father. Children are always precious in their father's eye. Therefore, just like every children on earth can count on their parents' providence and protection, likewise, we can count on our Heavenly Father, our God, His protection and providence too. If this is so, then we need to remember the second point. Not only God will provide us what we need, He will also provide what is the best for us. What's the best for us? Jesus elaborated. He asked his audience to think about the flowers on the ground. He said, consider the lilies. They neither toil nor spin, yet even Solomon's glory could not compare with their beauty. Consider the grass. Its lifespan is so short. It grows today and it bursts tomorrow, but God still nourishes them and let them grow under the sun. Think about that. How much more will He provide you and let His blessing shower upon you? That's why Jesus asked us not to worry about what we are to drink nor what we are to eat each day. For two reasons. First, we are precious in God's eye. And second, He provides us what's the best. Besides, He said, only those people who did not know God as His Father would worry about what they are to eat and what they are to drink, isn't it? For all the nations of the world seek after this thing, and your Father knows that you need them. Jesus said, you are different, brother and sister. You are different. You are the children of God. You are supposed to understand that your Father in heaven already knew exactly what you need. Not necessarily what you want or desire today, but what you need. And you can count on His faithfulness that not only He will provide you everything you need, but also He will provide you in the right time. Because you are precious. And He promised to provide you what's the best. That's why you need to worry no longer. You do not need to worry about what you possess and how much you possess. And you shall not build your security on your possession because you have the Father. Do not build your possession. Do not build your security on earthly possession. But on God who promised to provide your need every day. Let me share with you a story. A father was preparing Christmas presents to his 3 daughters. But he wanted to know exactly what kind of present each of them wanted. So he gathered them around and asked each of them the same question. My dear, what kind of Christmas presents you want me to give you this year? The eldest daughter was the first to answer. She said, "Daddy, I want a baby doll. I want an American girl doll." The father heard it, and he said, "Sure, my dear. I promise, this year you will receive an American doll as a Christmas gift." Then the second daughter came and said, "Daddy, I want a bicycle with princess stickers on it." So specific. The father heard that too. And he said, "Sure, my dear, this year I promise you, I will give you a bicycle with princess stickers as Christmas presents." Then the father turned to the youngest daughter and said, "How about you? What do you want? Do you want an American girl doll or a bicycle like your sister's?" The little girl was hesitating. Obviously, there was something in her mind. Then she said to her father, "No, I don't want an American girl doll, and I don't want a bicycle. I want daddy only." The father did not understand what it means. So he kept asking, "What do you mean? What do you mean you want daddy only?" Then this little girl explained, "Because if I have daddy, I will have everything. If I have daddy, I know I will have American girl doors. If I have daddy, I know I will have a bicycle too." Brother and sister, do you understand what this story means to us? When you have God as your father, you have everything. Think about it. He is our creator. He is our provider. He is the one who possesses the whole world. And he said he loves us so much. We are his precious. And he promised to provide what's the best to us. So we can count on his protection and his providence. Do you get it? He is the one who promised to take good care of us. If you are still not sure what I'm talking about here, or you don't believe what I'm talking here, how about this? Why don't you experience it yourself by going through a very simple exercise I'm about to suggest you to do it starting from tonight. Tonight, before you go to bed, give yourself 5 to 10 minutes. Quiet down yourselves and try to recall what you have experienced today. Then ask yourself what God has provided you today. Think, both tangible or intangible. Perhaps it was just a meal or a friend you meet in church, a gift from someone, or you have spent some time with your loved one, or even just a little happy moment. It could be anything, but I want you to not take it for granted. Even though they are just small things, as small as finding a parking spot inside a shopping mall, it could be a blessing from the Heavenly Father. I want you to count each blessing. If you can do this, I'm sure your eyes will be opened and you will start to find out you are really precious in God's eyes and he has provided you what you need. So my final question for you today is, will you still choose to build your security on earthly possession? Or will you choose God, who sees you as his precious and has promised to provide you what's the best for you? Well, if I have to answer these questions, I will say that I have no other choice. I choose God because I know he has already given me the best. He gave me his son, Jesus, came down from heaven, bound in the flesh, and laid down his life on the cross for me, and also for you, so that we can be redeemed and our lives can be secure in Him internally. That's why every time, every month, when we come to this communion table, once again we are being reminded how precious we are in His eyes. So this morning, I want to invite you to come to this table with me again. And here we can celebrate. Celebrate what? We can celebrate that we have such a wonderful and faithful Father in our life.